You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. All this week, we are exploring the issue of sex trafficking, hearing the stories of ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things to combat this evil around the world. Regan Hill is the founder of In His Image Designs, a Kentucky-based vendor that partners with international organizations to spread awareness about sex trafficking. In His Image Designs purchases items made by trafficking survivors in India, Nepal, Cambodia, Uganda, and Thailand, and sells them in the United States. Selling these items not only helps to spread awareness about trafficking, but also contributes to the financial self-sustainability of the rescued victims. Today, Regan talks with us about her experiences meeting women all over the world who have been rescued out of sexual exploitation. She also talks about In His Image Designs and why she felt called to start this ministry in her area. Today's interview is being conducted by Mary Ann Jang, an intern with Pure Hope.
Can you tell us about how you got involved with this work, with In His Image Designs, how you heard about it, kind of your background a little bit?
Sure. I'm probably a pretty unlikely candidate for what we're doing. Nothing in my background really prepared me for this. It's not something I would have gone out looking for or imagined doing. But the journey to, you know, where I'm at today started almost 4 years ago, oddly enough, at a David Crowder concert in Cincinnati. Before that time, if you had asked me a question about slavery, like a lot of people, I would have told you it was something I learned about in history and that it was certainly abolished. I had no idea about human trafficking that it went on today. At that concert, which was right before Christmas, David Crowder encouraged the people attending to use the buying power we have here in the U.S. As consumers to make a difference in the world by purchasing fair trade products to use as Christmas gifts. And later on, looking at the websites he recommended, following some of those links, I was reading things about human trafficking, modern-day slavery, sex slavery, and I was really blown away by what I was being exposed to. You know, the more I read, the more it just began to haunt me. I kept researching. I started reading everything I could find. I watched some movies, started hanging out on websites belonging to groups like Not For Sale and IJM. And eventually, I just reached the point where I knew I couldn't walk away from this issue. I was convinced it was real, and it had just turned my world upside down, and I knew I had to do something. I just didn't know, you know, what that something might be. So I felt like flying to Cambodia and kicking down a brothel door and rescuing the girls inside. I started looking for a more logical response and what I could do. So what I found were a lot of nonprofits and NGOs that were already set up on the ground working, groups like Nightlight Designs in Bangkok, Free Set, and Eye Sanctuary in India. And they were already there working with girls who've been rescued and bringing girls out of the sex trade in those places. And what they really needed was people here in the U.S. to create markets for the products that the women they worked with were making. And I realized that was something that I could do. So I learned what I needed to do to operate a business here in the U.S., got all the legal stuff in place, bought a couple boxes of jewelry from Thailand and some handbags from Cambodia, and started with my first home party. So home parties seemed like a really good venue because of the opportunity they gave to share the stories behind the products. So that's pretty much how it got started.
Wow. So can you tell us more about Inez Image Designs? It has definitely grown since the handbags in Cambodia and the jewelry in Thailand. How has it grown, and what leads you, how do you find these new ministries to partner with?
Yeah, what started as those initial partnerships that you mentioned, it has literally grown to beyond what I could ever have imagined. We're now partnered with almost 20 projects all over India, Cambodia, Thailand, Uganda, and even a new project we've added actually near Nashville, Tennessee. And in addition to the almost 100 home parties we've done, which initially that was the only venue I could think of, we've done those all over Kentucky and Ohio. We've now been able to set up as vendors at a lot of human trafficking conferences in Columbus, Cincinnati, here in Kentucky. And we've done a lot of different fundraising events. We set up at churches all the time. A lot of the local churches are really getting hold of the justice movement and wanting to engage with that. And as they find out about what we're doing, we'll invite us to set up perhaps after the service and sell our products. We've been real involved with a lot of women's groups at women's conferences. That's a fabulous venue for us. And numerous fair trade markets and a lot of Christian concerts we'll set up in the vendor areas as well. So it's because I have no background in business or anything, remotely in that area, it's just pretty much been word of mouth. And as people find out about what we're doing, they'll tell other people, and it has just literally snowballed. And I think one reason people get excited about it when they meet us and visit our booth is what we're doing is so much more than just selling stuff. It's about giving people the opportunity to engage in a tangible way with this issue. If someone is able to purchase a pair of earrings made by a girl that was rescued from a brothel in Mumbai, and on that card that comes with it, it has her name, and they're able to connect with her as a person and pray for her and care about her, that's huge. And I think it's a step in the right direction of people realizing that they can make a difference and they can get involved. It's not that hard.
I think your background really speaks to that fact that anyone can get involved because, as you said, you didn't have a business background. So can I ask, were there any doubts when you were getting started or ways that you had to wrestle with the Lord through what, you might have felt like you were capable of?
Yeah, definitely. When I had this idea, it just seems like this crazy idea. And I remember calling several of my friends, real godly women that I have a lot of respect for, and entering the conversation with, I have this crazy idea, and I want to hear what you think. And so I, would talk them through what I was thinking, and I got nothing but positive feedback and people just telling me to go for it. So initially, I just took a deep breath and decided to step out. I really had no idea what I was going to do, how it would develop, what In His Image Designs would become. And so, yes, to answer your question, I've definitely struggled with, doubting my own ability to do this, second-guessing myself all along the way. And my 19-year-old daughter, Marissa, has has been a huge part of this with me from the beginning, and it's definitely her thing as well. And it seems like God's really used her. Every time I'm really doubting, every time I'm afraid to take that next step, she has just cheered me on and encouraged me to believe that God's really doing this. So that's been awesome. And, you know, God has put so many women in my life that have supported me and encouraged me along the way. So that's been huge as well. I know in the Bible it says that, you know, God chooses the weak things of the world and the foolish things of the world. And I feel like I'm just the living example of that. You know, I'm the most unlikely candidate for this. And I think when that happens in the end, God gets the glory for what's happened instead of the person. And this certainly isn't about me. I just feel like I've been a spectator, and God has just given me the enormous privilege of just playing a small part in what he's doing all over the world. I feel like stories are being written, lives are being changed in India, in Thailand, in Cambodia, these beautiful new stories of change and hope. And God's invited me to step in and be a part of that. And I, in turn, by offering these products for sale, you know, I can invite you and other people to enter into that story too and become a part of it.
I do want to ask, from your experiences, talking to people who are working on these, who do create these products, who are survivors or at-risk individuals and are the ones that you're encountering, what is it like? What have you gained from meeting them, from seeing them in their home and their new work, or seeing them as they are kids, because I know that you traveled to orphanages?
Yeah, I think that's been a really valuable part of what we've been able to experience these 4 years is going to Thailand, and this year going to India, and hopefully we'll be visiting Cambodia next year as well. It was really important for me to really know what was going on, to see it for myself, and maybe just in that struggle piece of it all, to really know that this is real. And so to walk through a red light area in Mumbai and see the despair, to see the hopelessness and the darkness there, and then the next day to spend time with girls in an aftercare home that had come from that red light area, to see the light coming back in their eyes, to see the hope that they have today, and hear them laugh and sing, just to see that transformation was so powerful for me. And then, you know, the jewelry that they make or the handbags that they make, you know, that's just a small part of it, but it's an important part, because being able to earn a living by doing something else, you know, that's what's going to keep them safe and keep them from being vulnerable in the future. So it really, you know, being able to go to those places and see both the transformation and the change, but also really get my mind around how important that vocational piece is, that was enormous for me, and I know it is for a lot of people. As I meet women here now, and I'm able to share my pictures and share the stories, you know, it just kind of helps it all make sense.
You have been listening to our interview with Regan Hill on Covenant Eyes Radio. You can learn more about her ministry at inhisimagedesigns.org. Our special host, Marianne Jang, was an intern this summer at Pure Hope for their Pure Justice internship program. Learn more about this internship experience at purehope.net. look for Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes, or find more podcasts at the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.